Man, it's good to be here. I was thinking yesterday we went out for door-to-door, and it was me and Lydia and Sila and Isaiah, and we were walking through Brockport, and we had to rush back to the car for a bathroom emergency, and on the way back to the car, we got a cramp. Right, Sila? She got a cramp. And I was thinking about that when I was reading the letter from Brother Hearn. I'm glad my mission field right now is not the mountains, amen? Yeah. God has called me to a much nicer place. It was a beautiful day out, fresh cut grass and yards, and we stopped at the park for a minute and played there. It was a good time. But praise the Lord for those who are. I'm just thankful for the mission field God has given me here and now. Now go in your Bible to the book of Jonah. Book of Jonah. Joe, I remembered. I think. Okay, good. Jonah is probably one of the more well-known stories in the Bible. It's harder to find than it is to find someone who doesn't know about it. It's hidden in your Bible in some of the smaller chapters at the end of the Old Testament. But out of all those books in the Old Testament, those minor prophets, Daniel and Jonah, are probably the two that most people know about. Of course, Jonah is famous for... Exactly. That's, I heard. Yes, buddy. Getting swallowed by the great fish or the whale. Thank you, son. I gave him the answers beforehand so he could answer here. No. But most Sunday school kids, and I assume if you've been in church any period of time, even outside of church, sometimes you hear stories like this one of the man swallowed by a whale. Here it says in the belly of the great fish in the end of chapter number 17, 3 days and three nights. Of course, Christ then later says that's the sign that he's going to give of his death, burial, and resurrection, is the sign of Jonah that was given. But Jonah has an interesting story. It's one of a book I like to read often. It's easy read because it just kind of walks through the story of Jonah's life, and it ends on like a cliffhanger. Maybe one day in heaven we'll get to see what happened next, but it kind of just ends, and it's like, well, where's chapter number 5? I need some more. Or it ends with a question, and I want the answer to the question. Of course, we know what the answer should be after reading the book. We're not going to go through the whole story tonight, but the Lord put this on my heart yesterday. I preached a part of it actually this morning in Spanish church, and then I had something else prepared in my mind for tonight, and the Lord kept pointing me back to this afternoon. So I believe this is a message that God has for us here tonight. Let's pray together before we read some of the chapter. Lord, I thank you so much. As we've been singing and praising your name, and Lord, you are good to us. I'm so thankful for salvation, the forgiveness of sin, the promise of our home in heaven. Lord, the peace that it can bring, knowing that you are my God and that my sins have been washed away. Lord, that you care about what happens to me every day. Father, I pray now that you would speak to hearts here as I asked you earlier today. I just wonder if you could use me tonight as a vessel to bring your word, that your Holy Spirit and the power of your holy word would pierce into people's hearts and, Lord, meet the needs that they have there. Lord, whether it is sin that needs to be rebuked or a soul that needs to be encouraged or answers to prayer. Lord, you know what a great blessing it is to know that you know what's going on in each and every heart and mind here tonight. We cannot hide from you. Lord, we look to you to meet our needs. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's start in Jonah chapter 1, verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh. I want to start off saying what a blessing it is that Jonah got the word of the Lord. Yeah. We zoom over that part sometimes, but what a blessing for a believer to get the word of God. Man, we take for granted so often that we have the word of God. We talk about it a lot. We reference it a lot. You might have quite a few verses memorized, and that's great. Read it every day. Carry it with you. Carry it to work, bring it to church, study it, meditate on it. Brother Parrott just finished his class, mark stuff up, cross-reference, Do doctrinal studies, do thematic studies, do historical studies. Study the Word of God, but don't forget in all of that what a blessing it is just to have it. Amen? Amen. That we have the Word of God. I'm reminded in the Old Testament when they found the Word of God. Imagine that. And maybe you heard over in New York City, somebody found a copy of the Bible. And that was like, what a miracle that, hey, there's actually the Word of God somewhere in this country. And the whole nation would gather, this would be kind of a blessing, the whole nation would gather together to hear the Word of God. It's so easy to take for granted something that is so common to us today. I don't mean common as in we treat it with disrespect necessarily, but just you just get used to the blessing of it being in your life. And sometimes you forget to say, thank you, God, for the blessing of His Word that we have here before us. Jonah received the Word of God. That didn't happen to everyone in those days. What a blessing for Jonah. You'd think, man, out of all the prophets in the land, right now Jonah's got a mission from God. He knows what the Word of God is, and now he's got a decision to make. God tells him to arise and go to Nineveh. I wondered if part of the reason Jonah doesn't go to Nineveh, it's just the fact that sometimes the Word of God comes with instructions we do not like, that I don't like. I wonder if Jonah was a little comfortable where he was. What if he had a nice little thing going on there? Might have had a little house. Maybe the people in town respected him as a prophet already. Just kind of nice there. I've got my setup. I don't want to change this. And God says, arise. When God speaks, whether it's arise or it's stay, or if it's get up or if it's lay down, if it's speak or be quiet, what is our responsibility, Brother Sutliff? Do what God tells us to do. Because I can't stand here and say, this is what God is telling Kelly Rice to do. Because God sees her heart and He knows what she's supposed to do. But I do have full confidence that the Word of God can tell you what you're supposed to do. And that if you are faithful to seek God and listen for His response and seek Him diligently, He will answer your needs. He will tell you what His will is for your life. He will give you that answer to prayer, the next step of direction. But then we need to be faithful to follow it. Of course, Jonah doesn't. He wasn't given the best mission in the world. He's told to go to Nineveh, that great city. It's a pagan city. It's people that didn't believe in God. And he's told to go and to preach against it. Cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Look at his message. If we jump over to chapter 3, we see the message that Jonah preaches when he finally does get to Nineveh. So Jonah arose, chapter 3, verse 3, and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. We were just knocking on doors yesterday. Pastor, can you imagine if that was our mission? Hello, my name's Roy. I'm from Walker Bible Baptist Church. This is my daughter Lydia, my son Isaiah, and my daughter Sila. We're just out in the neighborhood today telling you that in 40 days you're going to be destroyed. So long. Praise the Lord. The message we have to share today is a message of hope and redemption and salvation and forgiveness and mercy. We know there is judgment, but praise the Lord, the judgment isn't the first thing in front of their face. Right now is the chance for mercy, to come to God. What a message we've been given. Jonah, we can point fingers at him and say, why did he run from God? Why didn't he listen to God? He should have known better. He was the prophet of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're the children of God. I'm not saying we can equivalent all biblical positions, but a prophet and all the things that we are in Christ, we've got a great position in the eyes of the Lord. And God has given us a call to bring His Word. And we have a glorious message, and one of hope. And yet so often, we want to do the same thing as Jonah did and say, nope, not now. I don't want to do that, Lord. I'm not going to speak up. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to give out a tract. I'm not going to invite him to church. I'm not going to... Ugh. We have a message to give. When was the last time you got a chance to share the gospel? It can be challenging to find that person who is willing to sit and listen to the gospel. So let's make it a little easier. When was the last time you tried to share the gospel? Where if they responded, we were knocking on the door yesterday, polite people, we didn't have anyone mean the whole day, praise the Lord, nice people, you can tell when you give them a track, they say, thank you so much, nice to, and they're stepping back and the door's already closing, but they're nice, that's not a chance I'm going to have to share the gospel. Now if I hollered, yet 40 days, they might stop and listen, or call the police, one of the two. But you don't have a lot of opportunities. But you know what we're trying to do? Trying to get the gospel in the people's. He had it in his hand. Pray that it makes it down into their heart. Amen. But God has given us a message to share. And Jonah's response, I fear, so often is like our response. Verse number 3. Now, there's one more thing in verse number 2. The end of it says, "For their wickedness has come up before me." We look at the world today, and a lot of lost people question God. And one of their questions is, if God is holy, if God is just, why is there so much wickedness? If God is loving, why do the innocent suffer? If God is righteous, then why are there so many criminals and people who just get away with it? Brothers and sisters, we can have confidence that they're not getting away with it. That God sees every wrong that's done. He sees crimes against horrible stats. I'm just listening to this thing about abortion again and how many babies have been murdered in the world. Millions just here in the United States. I don't want to be one of those doctors when it comes time to stand before God. That is horrible. God knows. And one day, every single person will stand before a great white throne, and they'll answer to God for what's going on. It might seem unfair to us. It might seem like God isn't paying attention when you're trying to do what is right and live holy and seek God and serve God, and yet people that don't want anything to do with God seem to be more blessed. They got the promotion at work. Their house is nicer. They just seem like they got it all together. And here I am trying to serve God, and look what I get for it. But God knows. Remember that God knows. Amen. And He's keeping accounts. But you know what? That doesn't just apply to the world. That applies to you and I as well. Now, if you're saved here, praise God, our sins are forgiven. Amen? Amen. I thank God for that. But God knows. When we choose to live righteous and when we choose to live wickedly. God knows when I make a decision that pleases Him or one that goes against His word. Little people, God sees it when you take the candy and your parents said not to. God sees it when you're mean to your sister or brother when nobody's looking. God sees it when we steal a little time from work. Or get out to this is little things. Get out to just today. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you called me today, Pastor. Remember this morning? You called me? I went to one of my favorite places, Dollar General. And I grabbed a Kickstart and a pack of those fig bars, the blueberry fig bar things. They're pretty good. They're moderately healthy, brother. They're better than a Pop-Tart. I'll give you that. All right. At least the package looks healthy. I don't know what's in it. But... So I get one of those, I go to the self-checkout because there's rarely anyone there at the counter. I do the thing, I walk out, and then as I'm driving, I'm right at the light, pastor calls. Are you still at the store? Can you get some creamer? Sure, we'll go back to the store. I go back to the store, we grab the creamer, Isaiah was with me. We go up to the register and it says, register closed, the self-checkout. And the lady walks by and said, this says it's closed. What's going on? She said, I was just here a minute ago, and it was working fine. And she said, did you get a kickstart? And yeah, that's because you didn't pay. The transaction didn't go through all the way. And I said, praise the Lord. And I told her, I am so glad we had to come back. Because they see me in there once a week maybe. I stop in and get something. They see me. I've invited those people to church. I've told them that I'm a pastor here. And if I'm the one who's stealing the kickstarts out of it, that's not going to look good. But I praise the Lord for that he took that opportunity for a bad testimony. And you don't normally call me Sunday mornings and ask me to grab stuff from the store. But today, I did. And I was able to set it right, paid for both things. Praise the Lord, done. But how often is it happening? Maybe you get to the car and, there's that gallon of milk under the cart. Yeah, throw it in the cart. We're good. God sees that kind of stuff. And more than those outward reactions and things we might do, because I hope as a Christian you might have a pretty good handle on those things already, but there's a lot that happens in here and in here. God sees that too. Every time we make a decision to run from God's ways, we are acting just like Jonah. I'm not physically running anywhere, praise the Lord, but I have run away from God's ways many times with my actions, my words, my thoughts. And I have known God tells me to do this. This is the word of the Lord. But I'm going to do this. Well, it's easy to look at Jonah and say, Jonah, what were you thinking? But I have to ask myself often, Roy, what were you thinking? That's not what God wants to see in your life. You know that's not what pleases him. As Jonah runs, he goes to Tarshish, gets on the ship trying to flee. He goes down to try to get over the opposite direction of where he was called to go. Pays the fare, runs from the presence of the Lord. Verse number 4, the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I'm thankful that God doesn't always let us get away with sin. I tell my kids that I hope they get caught. I want them to get caught because I don't want them to get away with sin. I don't want that habit. I don't want the consequences that will eventually catch up with that. I want them to get caught in what they're doing. Now, I don't want them to do wrong, so I don't have to catch them, right? But God pursues after Jonah. What a blessing it is that God didn't give up on him and just say, oh, God could have just let him get on the ship that day, let the storm happen, and let Jonah drown. And God would have been perfectly just. That's the end of Jonah. The sad story of Jonah, 5 verses, shortest book in the Bible. But God didn't. God went after Jonah. But when God went after Jonah, it caused some uncomfortable situations in Jonah's life. Jonah had to fess up to what he'd done. Jonah had to admit his mistakes. And we're going to see that. Verse number 5, then the mariners were afraid. This great mighty tempest is about to break the ship. And the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. You know what Jonah's sin caused? It caused suffering in the lives of others. Jonah didn't suffer alone that day in the ship. There was a bunch of sailors there. They had nothing to do with Jonah. They didn't know Jonah was running away from God. They didn't know Jonah was called to Nineveh. They had no idea who this guy was. And yet they're all about to die because of Jonah's decision to run from God. They have to cast all the wares off the ship. I'm assuming that they were supposed to deliver those things somewhere. And that's probably how they were going to get paid for this trip. And because of Jonah, throw him overboard. We're trying to survive now. You might not be a mean person. I hope you're not. That you would think about going maybe to your neighbor's house, busting open the garage and just taking their tools. I hope you wouldn't do that. I certainly hope none of you would go up to your kids, smack them around a little bit, and cause some hurt in their life. But when we choose to sin against God, we are inviting God's judgment not just on us, but on the people around us. I praise God for his mercy. Now these sailors, they were just to suffer God's judgment. They were pagans praying out to false gods. Everyone in this world is, God is just in punishing with hell. But I don't want to be the cause of them getting there sooner. I don't want to see my family suffer because of what I'm choosing to do. One of the devil's greatest lies is that your sin only affects you. You might scheme in your head. This is just me. This is the way I'm going to live. I can handle the consequences. But beware, because those consequences might not just be for you. How many marriages have the consequences of sin destroyed? How many kids grow up with one parent because one of them chose to live in sin? How many businesses went under? Families lost their jobs, all that because a boss decided to steal. Your decisions to walk away from God, to forsake his commandments, when you know, just like Jonah, this is what God has told me to do, and I'm going to choose this. Where was Jonah? But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. I almost have a little bit of respect for Jonah. I love being able to sleep just about anywhere. A little jealous. I don't know a ship in a storm about to go down if I could be comfortable. But look how comfortable Jonah was. He's like, I made my choice. Whether it's a false peace that's in his heart or he thinks he's convinced in his heart that he got away from God, praise the Lord, I'm not going to Nineveh. Maybe he had good intentions. Maybe he was able to justify his decision. You know, I actually heard, God, that over in Tarshish, they needed a prophet. Like, there's no gospel church there. So instead of Nineveh, where you tell me to go, God, would it be okay if I'm going to take a survey trip to Tarshish today instead? And if I get there and it doesn't work out, then maybe I'll go where you told me. I don't know. That's just me. That's not in the Bible, of course. But he is fast asleep, unaware that his decisions are about to cost the lives of everyone on that boat. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? I think it sounds like my dad talking to me when I was a teenager. Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. They begin to pray, they cast lots. Jonah confesses to them, verse number 9, and he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Now, you can read that multiple ways. You can say he's so caught up in his own hypocrisy that he isn't even realizing the words that are coming out of his mouth. Or maybe when he woke up, God smacked him in the face. And he's beginning to realize, like the prodigal son did, what mess have I just gotten myself and all these men into? I like to think in that moment he woke up, saw what was going on, saw the crew around him, it hit him like a ton of bricks. What have I done? All these people are about to die. I'm not getting away from God. You know that feeling when you're about to get caught, baby, your face gets a little flush, your stomach is tied up in knots. I wonder how Jonah felt in that moment. I like to think that when he says, I'm a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, it might be with almost with tears in his eyes as he cries out. Verse number 10, then the men were exceeding afraid and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. He's starting to come around and admit what he did. He tells the sailors, I am running. You know that God? I am running from him right now. He has to fess up to what he's done. Hey, I've made a horrible mistake. I'm supposed to be headed to Nineveh, and instead I'm going to Tarshish. And the men say it was probably in Joseph's heart. What do they cry out to him? Why hast thou done this? Have you ever asked yourself that? Why did I just do that? Or maybe you're looking back at 5 years of your life. Why did I do that? I know what God wanted from me. Why did I do that? He doesn't cry out to God for mercy in this moment. He tells him, I think he's resigned to his punishment. Kind of like Samson was when he stood between the two pillars and just said, I'm going out. I'm going to take these Philistines with me. Jonah just said, God's going to kill me. Just get me as far away from you as I can. Get me out of here. Throw me overboard. And God might spare you. But he realizes, I am worthy. This judgment of God is just. I fled from God. I disobeyed God. And whatever he does to me now, I deserve. Christians, we have the mercy of God. And I might have said 5 times already this message, I am so thankful for God's mercy. But we have a tendency to twist that forgiveness and that mercy of God, and it blinds us to how serious our sin is. Because I think it's easier and easier, knowing that God has already forgiven it and that it's under the blood, to just not see it. That it's kind of like it gets a little hazy what it actually looks like, because we know it's forgiven already. Now, I'm not going to hell for that thing. It's already taken care of. Praise the Lord, my sins are forgiven. So then when it comes time and I commit another sin, it's forgiven, right? Not that it's okay. Maybe you're not so hard to think it doesn't matter that I sin, but we lose how serious it is. Imagine if you were in the Old Testament and we had a rebellious youth who would need to be brought before the elders. What was the punishment? Could be stoned to death. Imagine you get caught in adultery and immediately you're dragged out and killed. Imagine, what is it, some cultures you steal? Whoosh. I'm not saying we need stricter laws, but you are, the punishment for your sin is much more clear and immediate and severe. So if I'm going to do this thing, the punishment is right there. Now, kids, I think if you're in a disciplinary household, you might have that sentiment that, hey, if I do this thing, I know what's going to happen, and it's going to happen swift, and I'm going to pay the price for my bad decision. Buddy, if you smack your sister, what's going to happen? You can't say that word. No, he's going to get a spanking. It's going to happen. Eli thinks that's funny. Is that what happens? No. You know, he knows. But as a Christian, you see what I'm saying? Now that my sins are forgiven, There's not the law, praise the Lord, there's not the law reigning over us. So I am separated from the consequences of my sin. I don't have to worry about hell. I kind of depend that God's mercy is going to be there. Like someone who disobeys again and again and again and again, and you just count on them. That's my friend. They're okay with it. People who borrow things, and they borrow and borrow, and then they borrow without asking because they know you're okay with them borrowing, and then you go to get that tool, and it's not there, and you didn't even know it was borrowed, and it's the time where you think, I'm going to strangle the person for taking my stuff, didn't bring it back. And in their mind, it's always okay. I can borrow it. I'll bring it back sometime. It's okay. And God shows us mercy again and again and again, and we get used to it. And not saying that we forget that sin is evil, but being so separated from its punishment can let us take it for granted what it really looks like in God's eyes. And as a Christian, it would do us well once in a while. I'm thinking in Spanish. Darse cuenta. Come to your senses and realize what your sin looks like to God. Not a crushing guilt that's going to rip you, but just to realize, hey, God would be perfectly just right now if he took my life, if he took my family from me, if he took my health from me, if he took everything I had, because that's how wicked I am before his eyes. That's a sobering thought. Not a thought I like to have. And I don't think it's a place you should dwell, because praise the Lord, those sins are forgiven. But it would do us well to realize where God brought us from. Yeah. Don't let the devil talk you into, because of all that, therefore you can't. No. It's forgiven, praise the Lord, it's forgotten. But it might help us not to sin today, not to sin tomorrow, to realize that God is just in his punishment. This day, if Jonah went overboard and died in the sea, God is just. If God took his blessings from me, God would be just in doing it. Look at Jonah's prayer. We're going to end here. We're not going to finish the whole story. We're going to end here in chapter 2 and the very start of chapter number 3. Chapter 2, verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. Jonah cried out to God. That is what we should do. If you know you're away from God, the solution is to stop, admit where you are, and cry out to God for his mercy. The story would have been much better, though, if in verse number 1, Jonah cried out to God. What if God had said to Jonah, go to Nineveh. You know that great city? I want you to preach against it. And instead of running from God, Jonah got down on his knees and said, God, I don't know if I can do that. God, I have doubts. God, I have fears. God, maybe it's prejudice against the people of Nineveh. I don't know if you're calling the right God. Lord, you're going to need to strengthen me. I don't know if that's something, you're going to have to give me compassion. What a much better story that would have been. But so often when God puts something in our lives, a decision to be made, or a step of faith that we have to take, or to forsake sin that's in our lives, instead of talking with God about it, it's easier to run from God, plug your ears, not listen, not see, and go on with life. God wants you to talk to him. He already knows what's going on in your heart. When you face temptation, pray. If you've overcome temptation and you're worried it might come again, pray. When you know that there's a frustration building up in you and anger's about to boil over, pray. Don't keep fleeing the Lord. Don't get on the boat. Don't get halfway across the ocean before you finally realize the destruction that your sin is causing, and then say, oh God, I have messed up. As soon as you realize I am walking away from God, stop and pray. If you realize I did it 10 times before, I'm probably going to do it again, pray then. Whenever there is a moment where your spirit is stronger than your flesh, use it as an opportunity to strengthen your spirit. Don't just keep going saying, I hope it'll be better next time, because it won't be. And you don't know what destruction it might cause around you the next time it happens. He cries to the Lord. Praise the Lord for this prayer. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and he heardest, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and in the floods can pass me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Look what his desire is to do, though. Yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. What a blessing it is to know that God desires to forgive us. You know that God wants to forgive you. He wants to set things straight. There's been times where my mind has been kind of on the warpath, and you're just kind of waiting for someone to step out of line, because you got a little righteous indignation building up in your heart, and you're looking for a target to point it at. Just waiting. Oh, kids, go ahead, say something. I'm ready. I know I'm a wicked person. That's why I'm saying I need God. But when God sees us astray from Him, He's not waiting with a ball of fire in His hand for the opportunity. Just do it, Megan, do it. I've warned you 5 times. Go ahead, do it. Do it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what? I think He's more, oh no. Oh no, don't. Why are you, no. Look, over here. Here's a better way. No, don't keep going. No, come back to me. No, don't get further. Turn around. Get it right. Come back. Oh, did it? Look what a mess. All right. I didn't want to do this part, but if it's going to get you to come back to me, here comes the great fish. Here comes the storm. God didn't send the fish to bite him in half. We see this judgment of God, but with each step of the judgment is also the mercy of God. God let him get on the ship. God let him get cast overboard. God let him live in the belly of the whale for 3 days so that Jonah could come to this moment and cry out to God, and God was waiting to forgive him. Even in the Old Testament, before the blood of Jesus, God is waiting for an opportunity to forgive. But it takes us to realize that God will not accept my sin, and that I need to return to Him. The waters can pass me about, even to the soul. Have you ever felt that way? Where you're just so sick of your flesh. So tired of failing God. So worn out with your own attitudes and thoughts. and it felt like the depth closed round about, the weeds wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. You might be sitting there and say, Pastor, I have no idea what you're talking about. If you don't, you're either really young or you don't see sin the way God sees sin. Because when you realize what your sin looks like before God and how good he's been to you, that you're still here with a chance to ask for his forgiveness, it can feel like a ton of bricks on you. But I praise God that he doesn't leave it that way. Verse 7, when my soul... Well, let's look at the end of verse 6. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. He says, I will pay thee that he has vowed. Look at the verse, end of verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord. Praise God for his mercy towards us, that he offers us salvation. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. There's still consequences, but it's by the Lord's mercies we are not consumed. And my favorite verse in the whole book of Jonah is verse 1 of chapter 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. God is good to us, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it just wasn't one mistake one time. No, it's been thousands of times. Before salvation and after salvation. And God is good to let us get up and keep going. Christian, draw nigh to God. It's got to be few people who have a very specific call, like to go to the mission field and are saying, no, I'm not going to do it. But every single one of us, if you've been in church, you've read the Word of God, you know what God expects out of you in your day-to-day life. And that's where the battle is really fought. It's usually not in the one big decision. It's in the day-to-day life of a Christian. And every day we make decisions to follow God or to flee from God. I wanted tonight, and I believe the Lord wanted, just to remind us what sin looks like to him, what it can do to those around us, and the fact that we need to draw nigh to him and be honest with him. Don't talk yourself out of being a sinner. Because you are. And it's wicked, and it's black, and it's horrible before the Lord. But, praise God, that his blood forgives all of them. And we are able to draw nigh to him, and he'll draw nigh to us. And praise the Lord, he still gives us a chance to serve him. That it is not one strike, you're out. That God's mercy is new every day. Amen. What a blessing. You might be sitting here tonight and you haven't been in the fight against sin. You've just been living life. Whatever comes on the TV, that's what we watch. Whatever's on the radio, that's what I listen to. Whatever thought that comes into my head, that's what I dwell on. Whatever emotion I feel, that's what I show to everyone. Whenever God tells me, I just don't have time for reading my Bible, you don't understand how busy, or I don't need that, Pastor, I'm fine without it. If you're not in the fight, you might not know what I'm talking about. But for the just men who want to get up and go forward for the Lord, the weight of your sin should once in a while be real to you. Like I said, don't dwell on it because it's forgiven. Don't let the devil talk you out of serving God because you're a sinner, because every person who's ever served God has been a sinner. But don't get too cozy with it either. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. If you've got to confess some sin and get right with God tonight, we're going to have some time at the altar. Maybe you say, Pastor, if I start thinking about my sin, I'm going to have a breakdown and I don't want to do that in front of everyone. Well, then go home tonight. Tell your husband or wife or your kids, I just need some time to pray. And just open up your heart before God for a little bit. Not to feel regret and guilt, but just to realize he could be just to destroy you at any moment, and he shows you mercy. And to realize that's not the road I want to walk down. That's what destroys. I want to do what edifies, what builds up, what pleases my Heavenly Father. I'm going to ask Mrs. Schubert to come to the piano. If you could stand. We have a time of invitation here tonight. Say, Pastor, I'm doing good. I've been fighting it. I'm living holy. Praise the Lord. What a blessing. Victory in Jesus. Amen. I hope that's a big chunk of us tonight. But there's moments of defeat when we begin to lose or give up fighting. If you need to do business with God tonight, come forward. The altar's open as Mrs. Huber plays. Come do business with the Lord tonight.